How many of you love Jesus this morning? Amen. I certainly do. It's been a great time being with you this week. And I hope you've learned something from the Word of God. Friday night, we learned that we're ambassadors. And we're ambassadors because we have what? The seal. We are kings because we have the scepter. We are sons because we have the signet or the key or the ring. We are ambassadors because we have the seat. Amen. We're seated in heavenly places, and we're soldiers because we have the sword. How many of you got your sword with you this morning? I really enjoyed listening to these kids quote their Bible scriptures. Amen. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then last night, we learned a bunch of truths about moving into level 1, 2, and 3. And I hope you got a lot of that. I'm the way, the and the life. In Him we live and move and have our being. Now abideth faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. Amen. 30-fold, 60-fold. How many of you know mathematic equations? If you say 30, then 60, the next number would be what? 90. Amen. But the Lord does what? He just skips over 90. Jumps all the way up to 100. That's the kind of God we have this morning. Amen. So I hope you enjoyed the Word last night. We got a number of materials I'd like to not have to take back with me to Branson, and the reason for that is because I don't want to have to check my suitcase. I want to just be able to stick it overhead. So if you look over, there's a bunch of materials back there that'll be a blessing to you. I've got only one little book here. It's called The Model Prayer, and since I only have one, it's free for whoever raises their hand first on the count of three. How many of you like to have this free book? Do Mullaly people like free things? Okay, then get ready. Then get ready to get this on the count of three. Are you ready? I'm looking. This is you little children, adults, anybody. On three. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Man, I think you're the fastest. I think you're the fastest here. You got him a little book. Amen. How many of you like this six-pack of DVDs on the subject of authority? How many would like to have this? Ready? Three. 1, 2, 3. All right, they're $35. You can get it in the back on the... What? What? What's so funny? I didn't say these were free. I said that book was free. $35. Now, if you raised your hand in church, that's the same as a pledge. That's like making a pledge. And if you made a pledge, then you'll want to fulfill that pledge. You wouldn't make a pledge in church before God without hallelujah. So anyway, these are $35, but there's six great sermons in here. The tabernacle is my favorite teaching. I've got 4 hours of teaching on two DVDs, and I've built furniture where you walk from the outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies, and experience the glory of God. There's a book that goes along with that, and a variety of other things back there, a commentary on Ephesians, and a commentary on the book of Luke, and just a lot of other materials that'll be a blessing to you. Pastor, we appreciate you so much. I've enjoyed being with you, and you've got a great family. Doesn't he look like the Prime Minister of India today? Praise the Lord. You're looking good. Amen. I'm going to buy one of those next time. I'm not going to buy it here. It costs too much. But when I get to India, I'm going to get me one of those. Praise the Lord. And I've enjoyed these young people's music. Give them a hand clap again tonight or this morning. Then turn with me in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you have a Bible this morning. And we'll try to get closed at a decent hour so we can have the baby dedication. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I just like to get down here where I can talk to you good. I pastored a church in Oklahoma, and we had a child there that had Down syndrome. Actually, wasn't a child. He was probably 22 years old at that time. He had trouble, as a lot of Down syndrome kids would, with his R's and with his B's. He was a powerful Christian, prophesied, great lover of pastors. But he'd always come up to me and say, Brother Quist, we need a wee Bible. Everybody say a wee Bible. We need a wee Bible. And I think he's saying we need a revival. But I took that to mean we need a re-Bible, a re-Bible. How many of you got your Bible with you today? We need a re-Bible. Say that. Re-Bible. That means what? Get back to this book like you loved it when you were these kids' age, studying Scripture, memorizing Scripture. How many of you love listening to these kids come up with a new verse and they've committed it to their memory? Amen. We need to get back to that. We need a re-Bible. Father, we ask you for a few minutes this morning that you will teach us, touch us, instruct us in the Word of God, and may we grow strong, full of faith, as, Lord, we rededicate ourselves to this Word, a re-Bible, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I want you to look at this in 2 Timothy 4 and verse, or chapter, excuse me, not 4, it's chapter, what did I give you, brother? Chapter 3, verse 14. He said, continue thou in all things, or continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child, and here's the beautiful thing about the dedication that we'll have after a bit, amen, for parents to rededicate, to teach those kids the Word of God. You remember Timothy starts with what? The faith which was in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that in thee also, that somebody took time to take the Scriptures, amen. And the greatest place that you can learn is on mama's lap, amen. Because she's got the Bible open and she can teach the Word of God. And so, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And then he said, all Scripture. How much? Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then the last verse, he didn't have it on the wall, but it says that the man of God may be perfect, truly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I love this book. I want you to just hold it in your lap or hold it in your hand tonight. In fact, lift this sword of the Spirit up in the face of the enemy. Praise God. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I love this book. And I'm going to preach five things this morning. But I love this book. Why? Because it's a book about a plan. Amen. This is the only book that has the plan of salvation. Other books have ideas. Other books have philosophies. This is a book about a plan. It starts in Genesis chapter 3. Skins for sins as they wrap the bloody fleece round about the body of Adam and Eve. And it ends in the New Jerusalem. The plan of God. The plan of salvation. The plan of redemption. It's not only the book about a plan, it's a book about a clan. Amen. A clan, a family. In the Old Testament, it's the church in the wilderness, the Hebrew race, the Jewish people. But in the New Testament, it's a picture of the church. Amen. This is a book that's different than any other book, because whether you're Indian, American, Asiatic, Polynesian, black, white, we're all a part of what? The same clan. How many of you are in my family as I'm in your family? Amen. And a book not only about a clan and about a plan, but ultimately it's a book about what? A man. One man, one portrait in this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the man Jesus Christ. John 5:39, you can put it on the wall. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. And so the Bible is what? A book about a man. How many of you have seen his face all through the Bible? In Genesis, all the way to Revelation. Amen. The law gives us the foreshadowings of Christ. The prophets give us the foretellings of Christ. The Psalms give us the feelings of Christ. How many of you, when you read the Psalms, you can feel Jesus in them? Amen. The Gospels give us the facts of Christ. The epistles give us the fruits of Christ. Revelation gives us the future of Christ. But the beautiful thing about the Bible, it's Jesus all the way through it. Come on, saints. In Missouri, we have the Gateway Arch. How many of you have heard of the Gateway Arch? Stands 670 feet tall, powerful gateway. It's a beautiful structure. But the thing about Missouri, every highway converges at the base of the gateway. If you come up Interstate 44 from Springfield, where we live, it ends up at the gateway. If you come across from Kansas City on I-70, it stops at the gateway. If you come down from Chicago on I-55, it stops at the gateway. If you come up from Memphis on 55, it takes you to the gateway. All of the different arteries converge at the base of that great architecture. Indianapolis over on I-70 comes to the gateway. 64 up from Louisville comes to the gateway. How many of you see what I'm talking about? All the different roads eventually lead to the same monument, praise God. And isn't it true in the Bible that every page, every parable, every prophecy, every song we sing, every testimony that we tell, every sermon that we preach, every single road, no matter how you travel it, always ends up at the gateway arch, at the gateway to glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. It all points to the cross, doesn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. And so we need this book because it has the plan of salvation. It has the clan, the family of God, and it has the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't have your life right if you don't have the man right. One little girl, too young to really know how to put a puzzle of the United States together. And yet she got it done real quick. And her mom asked, how do you get the puzzle with all the states of the United States put together at your age? And she said, well, I don't do the puzzle. On the backside, there's a picture of a man. Well, the man is George Washington on the backside of the puzzle. And she said, when I get the man right, I got the puzzle right. And listen, folks, when you read the Bible, if you can get the man right, if you can see Jesus Christ, we talk about a hymn book, H-Y-M-N, but this is a hymn book, H-I-M. It's all about Him, isn't it? Come on. In Genesis, what? If you go from the very beginning, the Bible points Jesus. He's Adam's covering. He's Eve's seed. Amen. He's Methuselah's old age. He's Enoch's rapture. He's Lamech's hope. He's Noah's rainbow. He's Abraham's ram. He's Isaac's well. He's Jacob's ladder. He's Joseph's way of escape. He's Moses' burning bush. He's Aaron's rod that budded, praise God. He is Job's redeemer. He is Gideon's fleece. He's Samson's strength. He's Elijah's mantle. He's Elisha's double portion. Amen. He is Nehemiah's wall. He is Esther's beauty. He is David's slingshot. He is Solomon's wisdom. He's Isaiah's vision. He's Jeremiah's tears. He's Ezekiel's river. He's Daniel's fourth man in the fire. He's Joel's latter rain. He's Amos's plumb line. He's Zechariah's fountain. He's Haggai's glory of the latter house. He is Malachi's son of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. I don't care where you look in the Bible. It's a hymn book. It points to Him. In Matthew, He's the pearl of great price. In Mark, He's the strong son of God. In Luke, He's the great physician. In John, He's the bread of life. In Acts, He's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. In Romans, He is the justifier. In 1 Corinthians, He's the last Adam. In 2 Corinthians, He's the God of all comfort. In Galatians, He's the fruit of the Spirit. In Ephesians, He's the whole armor of God. In Philippians, He's riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In Colossians, He's the head of the church. In 1 Thessalonians, He's the catching away. In 2 Thessalonians, He's the restraining power. In 1 Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. 2 Timothy, praise God, He is our great pastor. In Titus, amen, the blessed hope. In Philemon, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hebrews, He's the anchor of hope. In James, He's the Lord of glory. In 1 Peter, He's the day spring from on high. Or 2 Peter. 1 Peter, He's what? He's the precious stone. In John's epistles, our advocate with the Father. But when you get all the way to the book of Revelation, every single chapter you see Him. Every page you see Him. But when you get to the grand end of this book, He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. I love this book. It's filled with wisdom. Amen. It's filled with solutions. But most of all, it has what? A revelation of Jesus. Everybody hold your Bible up. A re-Bible. You know, Israel the other day gave away what? 1,026 Palestinian prisoners for what? One Israeli soldier. Now, you say that don't make much sense. One over here, 1,026 over there. But listen, folks, one Jew with the blood of Abraham in his veins is worth 1,000. One day in his courts is worth what? 1,000 elsewhere. I just counted in my library in my personal office the other day, and I had 1,030 books. Now, think about that. 1,030 books. They gave away what? 1,026 for one Israel soldier. Huh? If I were to take this Bible off my shelf and didn't have the Bible anymore, but if I had 1,029 books, would I be a richer man or a poorer man? If I took all 1,029 books and traded them so I could have this book, how many know I'd be the richest man in Branson, Missouri? Why? Because all other books are just thoughts. They're just philosophies. They're just opinions. If you want philosophy, do what? Go down to the barber shop. They talk a lot of philosophy. If you want opinion, do what? Get on the Seattle newspaper. There's a whole page called the editorial page. Lots of opinions. If you want theory, do what? Go to the science lab. They're good at theory. But if you want truth, where do you go? There's only one place. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John 8:32, praise God. And John 8:31, he said to continue in this word. This word, it will set you free. It's the source of truth. It's the source of faith. How do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing what? The word of God. Source of truth, source of faith. It's the source of growth. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It's the source of health. Why? Because he sent his word and healed them. Can I quote some scriptures to you this morning, folks? I want to have a re-Bible. It's a source of faith. It's a source of truth. It's a source of growth. It's a source of health. It is the source, praise God, of birth. How many of you got saved? You got born again because of what? This Bible. It says in James 1:18, he has begotten us again by the word of truth. 1 Peter 1:23, you can put it on the wall. Being born again. How? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. That's all right, I'll just quote him. Amen. The word of God is seed, isn't it? The seed of the word. You plant it in the heart and it begins to bring forth fruit. Y'all with me today? How many of you love this book? I'm talking about a revival of loving the Bible. Let's just skip over that. Go to Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I what? Love thy law. It's my meditation day and night. Give me another verse there, brother. I had 1 Peter 1:23 and then 1 John 3:9. Well, let's don't even pay attention to that. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. This word is what? Incorruptible. Every jot and every tittle. How much of this book is inspired? Every single word in this Bible, amen? All scripture is given by what? Inspiration. And if it's inspired, that means what? God is spiration, that's breath. Am I talking too fast? We need translation. Inspiration would mean what? Breathed in. The Greek word is theonoustos, theos, God, noustos, as in pneuma or pneumatology. Amen, that means what? To breathe. And so all scripture is what? Given by breath of God. It's not just ink on white pages. It has the living personality of God flowing through its pages. How do you know that something is alive? If this book is alive, how do you know that? Because for something to have life, it must have two things. Number one, what? Blood. And this book is different than any other book, Pastor. Why is that? Because it has the blood of Jesus from Genesis, where the Lamb, amen, is sacrificed, all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, where we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And this book has blood in it, but this book has what? Breath in it. And so if this book is breathing, then when I read it, what happens? God breathes on me. When I preach it, what happens? God breathes on you. Just as Adam in the very beginning was nothing but a pile of mud, and yet God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And when God breathed, when there is theonoustos, what happens? Adam jumped up a clay mass and began to take dominion over the garden. And so this book is exactly the same. It's just leather binding. It's just paper pages written by men over some 1,400 years. Amen. People from Asia Minor, Jews from Israel, people from around the Mediterranean, lots of different authors, Lots of different writers, but only one author. Huh? How do you know that? Because this Bible is given by divine authorship, though it came through human penmanship. Could I say that again? Human penmanship, man wrote it. But divine authorship, God inspired it and God breathed it. Praise God. And so when you speak the word of God to somebody else, what's happening? The anointing of the Holy Spirit is carried on the pages of this word. And just as it brought life to Adam, just as it brought life to you, when you declare it, it brings life to others. What the world needs tonight is not another committee. What the world needs tonight is just not another right candidate for the White House. What the world needs today is the Bible. God, give us a re-Bible of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4 and 12, could you put it on the screen? He said that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Quick means what? Living. Powerful is what? Not the word dunamis, dynamite, but what? Energeo, energy. This book is what? It's divine energy. Sharper than what? Two-edged sword. Why is that? It cuts when I swing it this way, but it cuts when it comes back. The same word that I preach to you that slashes and cuts does what? It cuts the preacher on the rebound. How many of you know that? And the Greek word there for sword is machero. It means what? We get the Spanish word machete or machete. How many of you have heard of a machete? That is a short sword, not a long one, but it's for upfront, close, personal combat. How many know I love this book because it's my strength against the enemy. When Jesus faced the devil and the devil tempted him, he did what? He said, "For it is written, Satan." It is written. How do you know that your answer always comes when you can pull out of the scabbard of your memory the sword of the Spirit and stand toe to toe with the devil and say, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." I thank the Lord for this book. Praise God. Somebody last night said, "I never use notes." Sometimes I do. Amen. It's a source of birth. It's a source of mirth. How many get joy when you read this book? Hallelujah. Jeremiah 15 and 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Praise God. 1 John 1 and 4, "These things I write unto you, that your joy may be full." I love this book. Praise God. Because it's the source of health, the source of truth, the source of faith, the source of growth, the source of birth, the source of mirth. Amen. It's everything we need. An eternal book. Not only loving this book, second, let's have a revival of learning this book. I think we need to learn it. You say, "I do that every Sunday." But you need to learn it. The psalmist said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." You want to get planted, folks? You've got to do what? Love this book. Now David said, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, if his delight was in the law, that means what? All he could delight in is what Moses said. Numbers and Deuteronomy and that stuff. That's the law. But you and I have 66 books today. We have the grace of God. We have the epistles of Paul. We have the Acts of the Apostle. If he delighted in the law of the Lord, how much more should we delight when we have the full revelation of 66 books of the Bible? A revival of loving this book. Second, a revival of learning this book. How do you learn it? Write down these five things today. These will help you. Number one, you have to do what? You have to meet the Word. Everybody say, "Meet the Word." That means every day we do what? We meet it. He said, "Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word." You ate three meals. When I was at the pastor's house, now I only personally eat a meal a day and then a snack. But at the pastor's house, we have breakfast, we have lunch, we have supper, and in the afternoon we do what? Could I bring you out some rice cookies and some Indian tea? Come on, saints. So what's he saying? In our physical, we do what? We meet each other around the table. And God says, what? Meet this word. Every single day, gather a certain rate. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. I don't know if you can get it on the screen. He told Israel to go out early in the morning and do what? Gather a certain quota of manna every day. Look at this. I will rain bread from heaven. The people shall gather a certain rate when? Every day. Don't wait till Sunday to open up this book. Every morning the Israelites went on a hunt. And every morning of your life you need to open up the pages of Scripture and gather a certain rate, or the New King James, a certain quota every day. If you read four chapters a day of this, you'll have read through the 1,189 chapters of the Bible in less than a year. How many of you know there's no excuse for not reading the Bible through every year of our life? You have to what? Meet the Word. Then you have to do what? You have to mark the Word. How many of you mark yours up? Meet the Word, then what? Mark it. Amen. The reason I started memorizing Scripture is because I had a Zondervan color-coded Bible. The salvation Scriptures were in red. Blessing Scriptures were in gold. Holy Ghost Scriptures were in green. Prophecy Scriptures were in blue. And my pages had red and green and blue, and pretty soon I started to memorize where all the colors were. If you want to know the Word of God, you got to do what? You remember the pages that there's highlight here and there's underlining over here, and pretty soon it's all marked up, and the next thing it's tattered and torn, and pretty soon the back's starting to fall out of it. A lot of people have Bibles that aren't worn out, and that simply testifies that you haven't been in it. Huh? One of my favorite lines is, get into the book till the book gets into you. Say that. Get into the book till the book gets into you. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. In other words, I'm going to get into the Bible till the Bible gets into me, and I'm going to have underlines, I'm going to have notations, I'm going to have highlight, I'm going to have ears of my pages bent over, I'm going to have notes in it, paper clips in it, the back's going to start falling out off. But listen, if the Bible is falling apart, the person who owns it is not. I don't know if you got that. If your Bible is falling apart, I'll guarantee you the Christian that owns it is not falling apart. The world is falling apart this morning, but people who know their Bibles, hallelujah, will never fall apart. The world will shake at your feet. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away, praise God. Give him a hand clap if you love the Bible. Watch this. Meet it. Mark it, meditate on it. Joshua 1 and 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Amen? Meditate in it, then what? Muse in it. Could you put Psalm 39 and verse 3 on the wall? He said, while I was musing, hallelujah, my heart was hot within me. How many of you have ever been reading the Bible and it's kind of boring and you're about to fall asleep because you're just reading words? But then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to lift a scripture off the page. Anybody ever had that happen? It's kind of like Braille just lifts off the page. It's kind of like a statement in Scripture gets on fire. And while I was, and he said, my heart was hot within me. Ooh, something stirring. While I was musing. And that word muse comes from our word what? Music. Or it comes from the word amusement. Too many people go to the world for their amusement. Christians go to the Word for their music, for their amusement. While I was musing, in other words, while I was chewing on that scripture, while I was mulling it over in my mind, while I was meditating on the things of God, my heart got hot. My spirit started to stir. It says, then I spoke with my tongue. We don't need to speak with our tongues, folks, until we felt the heat of the Word of God in our spirit. But when it starts burning on the inside, then you've got a flame of fire to speak it on the outside. Meet it, mark it, meditate on it, muse in it, memorize it. Huh? He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your where? Mouth. He didn't say this book shall not depart from the glove box of your car, or this book shall not depart from the shelf in your living room, or this book shall not depart from the hymnal rack in your church pew where you left it last Sunday. This book shall not depart from your what? Mouth. That means what? You're speaking it. You're declaring it. You're reciting it over and over. The only way you're going to get it in your heart, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen to that. Faith comes by hearing. It doesn't just say hearing the Word. It says what? Hearing and hearing by the Word of God. How does faith come? Hearing and hearing. Faith comes how? Hearing and hearing. Let me say it again. Hearing and hearing. Or we could say, what he's trying to say there is hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And the more you say it, and the more you recite it, and the more you speak it in prayer, all of a sudden what happens? It gets into your heart, it gets into your belly, it gets into your spirit, and you not only muse in it, you memorize it, then you what? You master it. How do you know you can become a master of this Bible? But more important than mastering the Word is being mastered by the Word. Praise the Lord. Last night I quoted Isaiah 28, 9 and 10, if you could put that on the wall, whatever the scriptures were. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and to whom shall he understand make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk. We got to get past just the milk of the Word. And are weaned from the breast. For what? Precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Precept means what? We study the simplicity of doctrine. We understand justification. We understand sin. We understand grace. We learn the power of the cross. Precept upon precept. Then what? Precept upon precept. Let's do it over again. Precept upon precept. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and then what? Line upon line. Line upon line. Let's see what it says in this line. Let's see what it says in that line. Amen. Take the Bible line upon line expositorily. Then what? Here a little, there a little. How many like to study the Bible? What? 2 Samuel, it says this, but over in Psalms, it says this. And if you jump back into Genesis, it says it this way. And if you go clear back to Revelation, it makes it all come together and make sense. Master the Word. Then what? Minister the Word. Huh? Because other people need the knowledge of Scripture that you have. Follow with me. We need a revival, don't we? Amen. Loving the Word. Learning the Word. Third, living. Living the Word. Amen? It's not enough just to know it. You have to practice it. He said in James 2 and 20, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any man be a hearer and not a doer, I will liken him to a man that beholds his face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and steadfastly goeth his way, and forgetteth what manner of man he is. So when you go into the Bible, you need to see how you look in the eyes of God. Huh? And then you need to sanctify yourself with the Word. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. John 15 and 3, you are clean through the Word which I have spoken to you. Praise God. We need to learn the Word, then we need to live the Word. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Jesus was what? The Word from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness to that light. He was not that light. That is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Huh? But then he said what? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them who were born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but were born of God. But then it says what? And the Word became flesh. What do you mean live the Word? That means when you read it, you embody it. Huh? That Word that was from the beginning, this glorious Bible, it doesn't need to just have a leather binding. It needs to have shoe leather.
You need to strap your shoes on in the morning. And everywhere you walk, you become what? A living epistle, known and read of all men. It's not enough for me to preach this word. I must practice this word. It's not enough for us to memorize this word. We must what? We must live it out every day of our lives. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 4:20, if you can put this on the wall, this is an interesting verse that I learned the other day. Read it, but I never really thought about it. He said, for the kingdom of God is not simply word. The Greek word for word there is logos. In the beginning was the logos. He said the kingdom of God is more than just knowing a Bible. But what? It's not in word, but is in power. That's the Greek word dunamis, dynamite. So what's he saying? It's not enough that you know the logos. You must be able to operate in the dynamite. It's not enough that you have a head full of scripture. You must have a heart full of power. Look at Matthew 22 and verse 29. You do err not knowing the scriptures. Look at this. Nor the power of God. It's one thing to have the logos. It's another to have the dunamis. It's one thing to have the scriptures, but quite another to do what? To experience the power of God. So we need a wee Bible. I said we need a wee Bible. A what? Not only meditating it, mastering it, ministering it, getting it in our heart, but then what? Acting it out every step of our lives, releasing our faith and seeing the power of God in demonstration. Praise God. We need a revival, not only looking and learning and living, we need a revival of leaning on this Bible. Where's the boy that quoted Proverbs 3 and verse 5? Put that on the wall if you could. Quote that for me, son. Huh? Is he giving up on it? No, he's asleep. Proverbs 3, 5. You know this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not. Now, you're going to lean on something. Some people lean on their money. Some lean on their career. Wife says, honey, I'm leaning on you. You're going to lean on a friend, but sometimes that friend is going to have his feet knocked out from under him. You lean on the government, but when we're $16 trillion in debt, amen, that's an L-I-E-N. There's a lean on the government. Come on, saints. You got to lean on something. You see that Leaning Tower of Pisa and you say, what's it leaning on? Well, there's nothing there. Oh, yes, there is. Underneath are the everlasting arms. You may feel like there's nothing to lean on right now, but when you open up this book and it starts to comfort you in the middle of the night, listen, this book is different than any other book because it talks to me. In the daytime, it convicts me. At the nighttime, it comforts me. In the daytime, it gives me principles. At the nighttime, it gives me promises. And when I have the principles, I have a way to walk. But when I have the promises, I can lay my head down on my pillow at night and know that if it's good night down here, it's good morning up there, that I've got a friend that will never leave me, that the Holy Spirit is at my side, and I find what? Somebody I can lean on when I've got the Bible. Everybody say, lean on the Word. What I have here, put up Proverbs 3:26. I want to give you this verse, folks, because an evangelist friend of mine, his niece, had a few years ago been out mowing her yard, and for some freakish reason, she got her foot in the mower and slashed the toe. Severed the toe, they took it, they operated on it, got it fixed, and everything seemed that it was going to be all right, but a matter of days went on, and pretty soon a couple of weeks, and it was obvious that it wasn't healing. Back to the doctor, and it appears that gangrene is beginning to set in, and a decision has been made to save the leg. We have to take the foot. Well, the surgery was scheduled for a Monday or a Tuesday morning, and several of the family members, the uncles are pastors, and so all of the pastors had driven in to be with their niece on the day of her surgery. They had had on the end table a little calendar with scripture quotations on it. Each day when you flip the calendar page, it would have a memory verse. And the morning of the scheduled surgery, they flipped it over, and this is the verse that was on there. For the Lord shall be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. You say, that's not the context of that verse. It had to be, folks, for that morning as those preacher uncles gathered around that table and laid hands on a teenage girl and said, God, we're claiming your word. Listen, folks, when there's nothing else to lean on, you lean on the Bible. They went to the doctor and said, God has given us a promise from the Bible. We're not going to allow you to do the surgery today. Please give us 24 hours. By 24 hours, how do you know? The swelling had gone down. The infection had subsided. She was released the next day. Why? Because you can lean on this Bible no matter what you face. Hallelujah. Look at the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 13. As he looks out the window of the Mamertine prison, bars round about him. A hooded figure sharpens his axe blade because tomorrow morning I'm lopping the head off this, quote, great apostle. But look what he says. He writes to Timothy, he puts the ink in the ink well and begins to write on his page. And he says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. In other words, it's awful cold in this Roman dungeon. I'd like to bring a winter coat. The coat that I left with Troas at Carpus, when you come, bring with you. And the books, but especially the parchments. Now, amen, my body is cold, and if you could bring a cloak, that would warm me a lot. But more important than my freezing fingers and my frostbitten toes is the fact that deep down inside me, I've got to know that there's a river. I have to know that there's a hope. I'm about to die and go to glory. The time of my departure is at hand. My ship is coming in. But here's good news. If I could just get a hold of the parchments again, if I could clutch my Bible in my hand and read Psalm 23, read Psalm 91, read some scriptures from the Bible, I know I can make it through. We need a revival of loving this book, learning this book, living this book, leaning on this book. Finally, let me say we need a revival of lending this book. How many know the world needs what you know? Can I lend you a Bible? Take it. Wouldn't it be nice, folks, if you had enough of them? I love it when the Gideons do what? They open up a drawer of a motel and what? Lend the Bible. Amen. What do you say in 2 Timothy 4? Put it on the screen. I charge thee therefore before God and our Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels who shall judge the quick and the dead at his glorious appearing in kingdom. He said what? Preach the word. Do what? Preach what? Preach stories. Tell experiences. Talk about headlines from the Seattle Times or Star or whatever you have. Do what? Fireside chats. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Huh? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's a generation of Christians that want to have their ears tickled. He said, having itching ears. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus opened the scriptures, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Come on, saints. Today we've traded burning hearts for what? Tickled ears. And shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Huh? Make full proof of your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. For I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. But I've fought a good fight. Come on, saints. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love His appearing. Hallelujah. Let's take that Bible in your hand. Grab it like you got hold of a sword tonight. Pull it out in the face of the enemy. I'm going to love it. How many of you want to start fall? How long has it been since you gathered a certain rate? Love it. Learn it. How am I going to do that? Get my nose in this book. Let me say this, folks. Read it through. Pray it in. Work it out. Pass it on. Say that with me. Read it through. Pray it in. Work it out. Pass it on. Psalm 68 and 11 from my last verse. Put it on the screen. Great. The Lord gave the word. Who gave us this book? You say, my Sunday school teacher gave me a copy. No. You are graced in Kerala. They didn't have it in Nepal. They didn't have it in Orissa. They didn't have it in Gujarat. Somehow somebody brought a Bible to Keralite people. The Lord gave the word. Great is the company that published it. We have a responsibility because God gave us His book to do what? Lend it. Pass it on. Give it to the nations. Take it back to your native India. And take it to your schools and universities and factories and hospitals. Take it to Boeing. Take it to Microsoft. Take it to Seattle. Stand, if you would, with your Bible in your hand. Let's lift up one hand with a Bible, another hand of praise. I want you to start to worship Him. Will you do that? Oh, hallelujah. 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 Just wave it before the angels. Wave it before the devils today. Wave it before all heaven and all hell and say, oh, how I love your law. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The entrance of thy word gives life. Great peace have they which love thy word, and nothing shall offend them. Thank you, Lord, for this Bible. Thank you, Lord, for these glorious truths, for this hope of eternal salvation, for this book that has the man Jesus, that we can look in every interstate, every avenue, every page, and see Jesus Christ. I thank you for that. As you hold the Bible, say this with me. Father in heaven, I thank you that you gave the word. Sometimes I've neglected it. A few times I've rejected it. Often I've corrected it. But this book needs no correction. So forgive me, God, for editing the word, for cutting pages out, for not believing at all. I accept every word of God. I lean on every word of God. It's my comfort, my hope, my roadmap. It's my GPS for life. And I'm going to love it, lift it, laud it, applaud it, praise God for His Bible, enrich me with it, and let me pass it on to others. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap if you love His Word today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.